Coming to you by way of the not-for-profit Mainframe Art Studios at 900 Keough Way in downtown Des Moines, this is 900 Views, a podcast about building community through the arts as we build an arts community. I'm your host, Pat Bodie. And I'm particularly pleased to introduce to some of you today someone who is both old and new to the Midwest. Composer and soundscape artist Bo Kenyon grew up in Creston, Iowa, but after graduating from the Berklee School of Music and earning his master's at Tufts, he landed in Boston, where he has spent roughly the past 20 years. He's a curriculum and education leadership consultant, lecturer at Northeastern University's College of Arts, Media, and Design, and his residencies have taken him to Cyprus, France, and Iceland, but now he's returned home to Iowa. We're visiting in his apartment above Bubba's in downtown Des Moines, and Bo's back in part because along with sculptor Natalia Zebko, he's completing River Constellation, a permanent outdoor sound, sculpture, and light installation adjacent to the Lauritsen Amphitheater commissioned by the Waterworks Park Foundation. Kenyon and Zebko have worked together before on an installation at Governor's Island in New York called Evening Light and Wonder Sense, a piece the pair installed at the Kingsborough Art Museum in Brooklyn. Before we take a listen to a little of what's in store for our future at Waterworks Park, Bo, you didn't have to move back here to work on this project. So what have you found in this community that has made a return here at least somewhat appealing?
You know, Pat, I feel like even though I've spent the last nearly 20 years in Boston, and things were wonderful and I loved Boston very much, there's always part of me that wished to move home or to move back to Iowa, to be near my family, to be able to work and live here. And I think by doing this project, I've been able to meet so many wonderful people that I hadn't met before. And also over the past decade, every time I came back to Des Moines, I saw how beautiful it had grown and how interesting it was and how so many people were doing the work that they wanted to do here to make this such a rich and vibrant community.
So, what are some of the roots of that interest when you say it's interesting? What are some of the elements there that are...
Well, food.
Okay, that's always a good start. Yeah, you live above Bubba's, you
right.
know.
I mean, the restaurants are wonderful. But also seeing how beautiful the infrastructure of the city is becoming with building, with the parks, seeing the work that not only the work that I'm doing with Waterworks Park, but the park renovation in and of itself is such an interesting project. The project that preceded that at Gray's Lake is so interesting. And the care that people in this community are taking with their city, not in just building new infrastructure, but maintaining it and keeping... The city seems so clean, but also such a healthy city as well, and positive, and excited to connect and collaborate and to build new things. It's all very exciting to me.
So one of those new things is River Constellation.
Yes.
Can you describe it in general terms for us a little bit, paint a visual picture, and
sure.
then introduce kind of some of the sound elements?
Sure. So Natalia is a sculptor that I work with frequently. I love collaborating with her. Speaking of collaboration, I love it. And part of her vision is responding to environments with immersive sculpture. And so what she's doing, she's looking at the river Raccoon River.
Raccoon River.
And the shape that the Raccoon River makes as it cuts through the Waterworks Park. And so she took that shape, that line, that circuitous path, and created a pathway that people can walk through. And the pathway is actually lined and created by these 10-foot tall stainless steel poles. And so people are walking through stainless steel poles. There are 45 of them in total. And on each of them are anywhere between 3 to 6 12-inch globes that light up. And we're working with a team in Colorado for a light design. So the light will slowly ebb and flow between the poles at varying degrees of brightness. So that itself is such an immersive experience. what I do is I've composed a 10-hour piece that is installed in those poles. So 10 of the 45 poles will, there will be music and sound that emanates from them. So it's creating its own environment and ecosystem that is directly inspired by the park.
Now, as we're listening to a little of that in the background here as we talk, can you tell us a little bit about how you have created this soundscape?
Sure. So I've been experimenting over the past few years on different composition methods. This is one that I've developed where I compose short phrases for live musicians to perform and record, and then I take those short phrases and then create a, in this case, a 10-hour piece. And so what I try to do is create a series of phrases that can work together in a wide variety of ways so that I'm developing the piece. I'm using compositional techniques to develop a piece with these building blocks that I essentially created, these short phrases. And so out of each, so I've got this composite score that's 10 hours long, but each phrase, they're coming out of different poles. So as people walk through, they're not hearing the composite piece out of one pole. They're hearing one voice out of a pole, but then across the way on the same path, they're hearing two, three, four, or five different voices as well. So people hopefully will have the experience where they're walking through this choir of voices and instruments.
Let's just pause for a moment and take a listen. That's a really powerful kind of experience, I think, that we're going to get to have.
I hope so.
And if I'm understanding it correctly, it's going to be different based on morning,
yes,
noon, night.
So instead of creating, you know, a short, let's say, 3-minute piece that is just running on a loop, I'm creating a 10-minute piece that is going to run over a 19-hour period. So we intend for the sculpture to be playing sound and lighting up from 5 a.m. until midnight every day. But because I'm creating a piece that is 10 hours, it won't complete the second round of 10 hours, if that makes sense. The 20th hour will actually be the following morning. So there will be this slow shift throughout the day. So you can come back every single day at 9 a.m. and have a different sound experience.
So this is not your Bellagio fountain.
No.
It's going to be quite much better.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I think
we're wanting to be thoughtful in a way that, just like when you were walking through the path of the Waterworks Park, you're having a similar experience. You're hearing leaves, you're hearing trees, you're hearing the train in the background, maybe horses, but it's not always going to be the same experience every single day at every single time. So we wanted to be thoughtful about this as well.
So what have you learned through your collaborations with Natalia Zabko, with your collaborations with the folks here in Des Moines, mm-hmm. elsewhere, as you really value this concept
yes.
of collaboration.
Yeah, very much.
You speak highly of multidisciplinary, mm-hmm. which is really a theme that keeps coming up in this podcast.
Mm.
What really is, though, the essence and value of that? I mean, is it your own self-learning? Is it how it has an impact on the product? I really would like to tease out more about understanding the mm-hmm. value of multidisciplinary and collaboration.
I think for me, and I've been working with, like, Natalia is one of many artistic collaborators that I've worked with over the many years. And I think for me, what is exciting is not just, you're basically superimposing somebody else's craft onto your own work. And so, for example, I've been studying piano since I was four. I've been studying composition since I was a teenager. And I'm now 40. So there's many years. And what I love about studying about music and about art and the art that I do is that I'm constantly learning and exploring. I had no idea how to do the type of composition that I'm doing now. It's something that I was exploring. And I think part of that new method came out of collaborations that I did with choreographers and dancers many years ago. That's how I started this process. And I was basically solving a problem of how to compose a very long score for a 45-minute dance installation in a public space in Boston. And this is just one of so many examples of how I ended up stretching myself and my technique and my approach to my work through interdisciplinary collaboration. I also feel like it becomes a very intimate relationship as well when you're building something creatively with someone else or a group of other people. And because of that, I feel like I've also significantly grown as a human, just as a person and how I see the world, and constantly learning more about my own craft and my own approach, but also about the world and other and what the possibilities are.
Does it create a different vibe or mood or spirit of the arts community when it is a multidisciplinary, collaborative one versus 20 visual artists?
Oh. Right, of course. Yeah. I mean, I would say, of course, like, in terms
of... And what's that difference? What's that distinction then?
Well, meaning that by creating a safe sort of community to take healthy risks as well, right? And not all collaborations, you know, some of the things that I've discovered over the past many years is that not all collaborations are healthy collaborations. Just like not all relationships are healthy relationships. Or just because you say you're collaborative doesn't mean you actually are. I've had partners in the past that, you know, there was a choreographer who I loved working with. We produced something great together for a museum in Boston. And I got to realize towards the end that he didn't always mean collaborative when he was saying collaborative, yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's okay. I think as long as you establish the rules of engagement towards the beginning of the project, then everyone's clear about your footing and what you came there to do. I do think something to be not wary of, but something to consider is how to be collaborative without losing your own sense of self. And that's the same again with personal relationships. How can you show up and work with somebody else personally while still maintaining your sense of self and boundaries and voice? And that's the case, I think everybody grows.
So a multidisciplinary arts community is a lot like family.
I mean, it is family and love and friendship and all of it. Like it's a very interesting, intimate relationship.
Now, what kind of research, study, investigation do you have to do to create a project like this one, where you're really trying to reflect various experiences that a person might have mm-hmm. within this this 1,500-acre park,
right.
Larger than Central Park, as we always like to remind people of? That's got to take, I would think, some definite investigation or exploration on your part.
100%. I would say, and it ranges. It ranges from those sort of quiet walks that I took in the middle of the park and recording bird sounds, but also just, you know, walking without recording anything or taking any notes and discovering there's a horse farm in the middle of it. Like, that was a really nice surprise. And then also the research that it takes to see, you know, topographically, and that Natalia did to see and explore what the shape of the river looks like and how that could be an influence. And then there's also the research that it took to figure out the materials that we wanted to use and make sure that we're building something that wouldn't fall down. And we got, you know, a structural engineer to make sure, Don Stately, who was on staff at the Waterworks Park, weighed in to make sure that everything was structurally sound, and how to create a network of electrical conduits to make sure all of the poles would work with electricity. And like, I am not a builder. I keep reminding people that I've been excited to learn about everything, but I learned a lot about building and about working with everybody.
What did you have to learn about this community to do this project?
I would say, and I don't know. It felt similarly to your first question about like, what does it mean to come back to Iowa to work and what was exciting to you? It was wonderful to come to a Waterworks Park Foundation board meeting and meet everyone and then see that I was, or once I started talking to different people, I was one degree of separation from at least three people, from people that I went to high school with. Like, I didn't go to high school with them, but they knew at least one person that I went to high school with back in the 90s. And it was just a really wonderful way of getting to know everyone, and that you're, I don't know, to take a deep breath and let my guard down a little bit. And I didn't feel like I had to, I felt like I could just make friends.
So to be a partial homie end up being an advantage here, or was it for an objective purpose?
It just felt nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, not to sound sappy, but it just felt good.
Yeah. You've got a great quote that I really want to read. It's from your curriculum vitae. No matter the project, I am anchored in empathy and curiosity with an aim towards generating a more connected and compassionate community. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about the empathy and curiosity you're bringing to your work here and how you're hoping this community will achieve some greater connection as a result.
Pat, you're asking all the questions. I appreciate it.
Do you want me to hit the pause button?
No, I think this is fine. I feel like that is, in doing some really significant reflection work on myself and what drives me as a human, what drives me as an artist, I kept coming back to curiosity and compassion, to empathy, and to this idea of connection. And I think that to me translates to, you know, creating a space with Natalia, creating a space for people to feel both quiet and centered, and that sort of individual, quiet, centered, meditative experience you can have while still feeling so very expansive and connected. And that's the experience that you have when you're in the middle of the park, let's say, in nature, but also with some of these installations that she and I work on together. Like, that's a big driving force for us. So just creating a physical space for people to go to, we're hoping that might be their takeaway. I'd say what I value in collaboration and why I believe so many of my collaborations have gone well is that I approach those relationships with empathy, with curiosity, with compassion, while still being rooted in who I am and what my voice is.
I'm curious too, just about the title, Constellation. So it's the stuff that's around your ankles and what's over your head.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the rationale?
So we were thinking, again, to go back to one of the generative sources of inspiration was the Raccoon River. So mm-hmm. we're creating this sort of river that also illuminates. And this idea that when you're looking at the sculpture from the very various different vantage points, if you're standing outside of it, looking at these two paths, you're going to see an overlap of globes that are lighting up. If you're in the middle of it, you're going to have a different vantage point. If you're above it, floating, as we often do, you're going to also get a different vantage point. So to us, it was this idea of that was both literal and figurative, that it's a place for dreaming. It's a place for this sort of awe that you get when you're looking at the stars, but this constellation that oftentimes will move you emotionally, but also move you physically. You would use constellations to actually navigate a path or a direction. So we were thinking about those things when we were first coming up with the proposal and the design.
One more quote here.
Oh, sure.
Any institution built on a social operational system, you're laughing already.
No, you're
particularly
just very sweet.
One that serves community members And since this is all about community, here we are. Must be equipped with health communication, intentional leadership. That was probably healthy communication, my typo. Intentional leadership and effective reflective practices. So that's a really good short list for community building.
Yeah.
What's here in spades and what's lacking from that list? Healthy communication, intentional leadership, effective reflective practice. And I know you haven't been here too long, but you've had to dig pretty deep to do this project.
Oh, you mean here in Des Moines?
Yeah.
Well, I'm now in my third week. I would say, honestly, I think that that's a draw. I mean, in talking with Sam Carroll, for example, or
the executive director of the Waterworks Park Foundation Board.
Exactly right. And he and any member that I came across at the Waterworks Park Foundation, and of course, Group Creatives, which is the independent group here who handled the search for artists.
Tiva Dawson and Matt Greiner.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Exactly. And I'd say, any of those people, they all, unprompted by, like, just listening to their conversations, so much perseverated on this concept of collaboration, about connection, about working together in this way to get something really much, much larger than themselves could do done. And I think that that's really fantastic. I think, you know, when I think about that list, and I wholeheartedly believe it in my work in education and curriculum development and consulting, it really very much points towards that in particular, in a very literal way. I'd say when you're working on a big project, I think of all of that as a practice. Like if you're thinking about practicing the piano or an instrument, a yoga practice, you know, cooking daily is a practice, you know, keeping your home clean. If this is the same sort of thing, that it's not something that I would ever look for to point at to say, well, that's the model of healthy communication or a healthy self-reflective practice, but it's something that everyone, it's just that a practice that you're doing on a regular basis. And with that said, I don't frequently enter into a new community to say, to try to evaluate it. It's rather to model that behavior when I can, to enjoy it when I can, to continue to collaborate with the people on a regular basis who I see that with, right? So Natalia Zubko, for example, I can't say enough nice things about her, but the reason why we've done so much together and such large projects is because that's a significant part of our relationship.
So as we close here, you've come here from Boston. You've got a beautifully rich and exciting resume, an incredible background. It includes chamber music and Montessori school, and it goes on and on and on. It's just in this leadership piece that I didn't mention at the beginning. What are you hoping to add to the mix here or enrich the mix here as this community moves forward? And let me give you my quick little bias about us, that here we are kind of on the cusp of a bit of a renaissance maybe for the greater Des Moines or central Iowa, if not Iowa larger, in terms of understanding who we are in the arts world and engaging around it. So with that kind of, let's say for the sake of argument, my little premise about us triggering off some level of renaissance is fair, what would you like to bring into that mix?
I mean, again, going back to your initial question of what I'm excited by, what I continue to look at and think about and talk to my partner about was how exciting it would be to live in a city where we could affect pretty significant, I don't want to say change, but contribute to what we're seeing. And for me, what's very exciting is, of course, continuing to do my work, my creative work. I will always be composing, creating something new. And then I also would be very excited to be involved in strategic development of the city from a cultural standpoint, arts and culture. I'm doing some work in strategic planning elsewhere, and I would love to be able to contribute and to have a seat at the table with so many great leaders like yourself, and seeing the work that you've done, and the work that Sam has done, the work that Tiva is and Matt are doing, the work that Tiffany Tauschuk is doing. You know, there are so many people, everyone that I meet, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Like, I want to be a part of it. And, you know, I'm happy and excited and fortunate that I continue to do work in Boston. So my primary goal in these first few weeks and months is to just get to know people and understand what is going on, rather than coming in and saying, well, let's do this. I want to know what you all are doing so that I can see if I can contribute. That's my approach. So that's what I would hope to do.
So we'll fast forward in a year. We'll talk again, right? And we'll try and figure out what you've learned and where you're going to be feeding this mix. But I have a funny feeling it will be strategically and in a number of other places and areas as well.
I hope so.
I can't thank you enough for your time. I know you're a busy person, having just a few weeks in and with such a responsible project. So you can find out more about Beau's work at beaukenyon.com. And River Constellation is in the process of opening as we're posting this podcast. Many thanks to the Waterworks Park Foundation and Group Creative Services for connecting us to Beau Kenyon. And of course, thank you, Beau, for taking the time to join us. As always, I want to give a big shout out to Mainframe Studios. They're in fundraising mode, so studios can continue to be built at Mainframe to accommodate the long waiting list of artists hoping to move in. So pay attention to that, and please go to mainframestudios.org to find out more. And thank you to my collaborator, Alex Cooney, who makes this podcast possible.